This is Daniel Garbin Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. In weather like this, don't you want to be watching a movie in an air-conditioned theater? I sure do. This week I'm looking at three new B movies, as in starting with the letter B. There's a biker gang in the 1960s, a serial killer on the loose on Blackwater Lane in an English town, and a boy trying to survive in the woods during World War II. The Boy in the Woods, written and directed by Rebecca Snow. It's 1943 in Nazi-occupied Poland. The city of Buchach is home to Poles, Jews, and Ukrainians who live together in relatively peace until the German invasion. But now it's 1943 and the Jews are in captivity, soon to be executed or deported. 12-year-old Max, played by Jet Klein, wants to stay with his mother and younger sister, but when they're loaded onto trucks, his mom insists Max escape. His aunt has arranged for him to stay on a farm until the war is over. Yoshka, played by Richard Armitage, is the farmer who helps him out by burning his clothes, dressing him in a peasant garb and hat, and giving him a new name and history. "If you want to survive," he says, "you must totally change your identity." But following a near-death experience, when the police come knocking at his door looking for hidden Jews, Yoshka decides it's too dangerous to keep him there any longer. So he finds Max a cave in the forest to hide in and gives him life-saving advice, where he can find running water, which mushrooms and berries are safe to eat, and how to snare a rabbit and light a fire. Max has no possessions except a knife Yoshka gave him and a white feather he finds. After many close calls, he meets an even younger boy named Yannick, played by David Coldsmith, who has lost his entire family. Now Max has someone else to look out for. Together they try to fight the elements and escape their many potential enemies. But how long can two children survive alone in the woods? The Boy in the Woods is a moving dramatization based on the memoirs of Canadian artist and writer Maxwell Smart. It's similar to Jerzy Gosinski's The Painted Bird. I found it quite touching in parts. This is a Holocaust movie, but with a different look. None of the expected ghettos or concentration camps we've seen. It's also a Canadian film. To me, the woods themselves, the trees and plants and streams feel nice and familiar, not scary and alienating, despite the harrowing episodes he experiences there. I also don't understand why everyone speaks English, but puts on a heavy generic European accent. Anyway, these are quibbles. In general, I thought the movie works well as a gripping personal history about a 12-year-old kid trying to survive in wartime. Blackwater Lane, directed by Jeff Celentano. Cass, played by Minka Kelly, is a beautiful young woman who teaches theater arts at a posh English private school. She likes G&Ts and tarot cards. She lives in an isolated but beautiful manor house surrounded by a lush forest, a verdant pond, and tall hedges. She lives with her husband Matthew, played by Dermot Mulroney, a business executive. When there are problems with her home life, she can always turn to her best friend and confidant, Rachel, played by Maggie Grace. They've known each other since they were kids. And she enjoys flirting with a seductive John, played by Alan Calton, a fellow teacher at her school. But her peaceful life is disrupted when she sees a woman in a car on Blackwater Lane in a thunderstorm. Turns out the woman is dead and her murderer, possibly a serial killer, is still on the loose. That's when strange things start happening to her. Edward, played by Judah Cousin, a student who seems to have a crush on her, keeps showing up unexpectedly. A sketchy builder knocks on her door saying she asked him to repair the alarm system, which she has no memory of doing. She starts hearing strange creaks and knocks all around the house, and strange shadows appear just out of sight, calling her name. Cass. An inquisitive police detective, played by Natalie Simpson, comes around when she calls, but sees nothing. And her husband keeps reminding Cass of her frequent memory loss and wild imagination, as he calls it. But when dead birds, a fox, and a blood-soaked knife keep appearing and disappearing, she realizes something is going wrong. Is she encountering ghosts in the old haunted house? Is the serial killer out to get her? Is he someone she knows? And is she being gaslit by a stranger, or is she losing her mind? Blackwater Lane is a psychological thriller about a woman who can't convince anyone else that her life is threatened. It's loaded with classic suspense and mystery, almost gothic in story, but not in style. It's based on a best-selling novel by B.A. Paris. Thing is, it has a sort of a movie of the week feeling to it. Good, but not great, loaded with many cliches. The acting varies from okay to mediocre, and there are way too many scenes that end with slow fades. And the ending is a messy attempt to tie up all the loose ends. Even so, I always find it fun to watch this kind of psychological thriller late at night. Bike Riders, written and directed by Jeff Nichols. Kathy, played by Jodie Comer, is a working-class woman in the mid-60s. 1960, she lives in the Midwest near Chicago. One day, she wanders into a tough local bar and is smitten by a young guy playing pool. Benny, played by Austin Butler, is the sort of a bad boy she knows to stay away from. But when a tough, fatherly figure, Johnny, played by Tom Hardy, approaches her and tells her that she should feel safe, they're just a bunch of guys in a motorcycle club, she lets her guard down a bit. Benny takes her for a ride on his hog, heading out on the highway, and they fall in love. Eventually, Benny moves in with her, and they start a normal, happy life. Thing is, Benny is not the kind of guy who likes to be tied down. He's a free spirit, never happier than when he's on the road with his buds. He's also a firecracker, and either the threat of violence or jail will calm him down. Johnny, the leader of the Vandals, doesn't look for trouble, but if anyone challenges his leadership, he's always ready for a fight. Fists or knives, your choice, he says. But as the years go by, Kathy tells Benny he has to make a decision. Keep riding with Johnny and the boys, or stay with her and the baby. But with teenagers who don't know the rules trying to muscle in to join the gang, its hierarchy starts to crumble. Which way will Benny turn? The Bike Riders is an historical drama about the rise and fall of the Vandals motorcycle club. Though it concentrates on those three characters, all very well acted, it's really an ensemble piece with a dozen other characters. Zipco, Wahoo, Cockroach, Funny Sunny, Corky, The Kid, many, many more, each with their own quirks and personalities. It's based on a famous collection of pictures of motorcycle gangs in the 60s and 70s taken by photographer Danny Lyons. Naturally, the cinematography in this movie is of top quality, as are the clothes, hairs, tattoos, and music. What it doesn't have is much of a plot, just more of a series of linked vignettes. Instead, for reasons unknown, they bring the photographer, played by Mike Faced, into the story, thus alienating the viewers by keeping us at arm's length from the characters. The thing is, Jeff Nichols is not just good, he's a great director. And he totally redeems himself in the last third of the movie, where there are some really powerful scenes, no spoilers here. With great acting and a huge talented cast, though far from perfect, The Bike Riders is a good movie to watch. The Bike Riders and The Boy in the Woods both open this weekend in Toronto. Check your local listings, and Blackwater Lane also opens both theatrically and on VOD. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.